Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin on this beautiful Sunday morning in downtown Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. Just gorgeous, the sunshine out there. Lots of people actually already out on the street this early on a Sunday morning on Michigan Avenue. So get out and enjoy the day. And Dave, I hope those showers are, I hope that's a small chance of showers.
Yeah, it says just a chance of showers. In fact, slight chance is what it says. Slight chance.
Even better, because I did not, of course, bring an umbrella or a hood or anything else. And I just don't want to get caught. That's all.
No, it says a slight chance of showers this afternoon. And, you know, it could be spotty. They could be local. You know, some places could get some rain. Others might not. So you
all
never
right.
know.
There you go. There you go. But, yes, get out and enjoy the day while you can. It's gorgeous out there. With Super Tuesday ahead, John Kasich is telling Jake Tapper on CNN that he'd support Trump if Donald Trump becomes the nominee. And was asked about what do you think is going to happen on Super Tuesday, and Ohio Governor Kasich responded, I think Trump's probably going to win probably all of them. That's about a dozen states coming up. And Kasich says he has his campaign plan, and that's about getting to the Midwest states. Of course, Ohio has its primary on March 15th, the same as Illinois. Florida has its primary on March 15th, the same as Illinois. So you've got to look at Rubio, the Florida senator, Kasich, the Ohio governor. Regardless of what happens, frankly, the biggest test will be for Texas Senator Ted Cruz, because if Trump wins Texas, which is on Super Tuesday, on this coming Tuesday, that would be a very huge defeat for the freshman senator. And be curious to see how he sees his political future in this race after that. Well, joining me now on the phone is State Representative Lou Lang of Skokie, a top deputy of in the Democratic leadership team. Lou, thanks for joining me this morning.
Happy to. Good morning, Rick.
I know you're a Hillary Clinton delegate, but I do want to kind of bring up how Bernie Sanders last week went over to Chicago State University, which didn't seem to be any accident. Obviously, he's doing very well among young voters, but also the fact of the problems that these public institutions of higher education are having without having any budget.
It was an interesting 2 days. Bernie Sanders spoke there one day, and the next day, hundreds of layoff notices went to staff at Chicago State, an unfortunate and terrible outcome over there.
What, if anything, can be done? I mean, you have the governor has legislation, but that, you know, I'll fund colleges and those monetary award program, the MAP grants that everybody talks about. But at the same time, you know, he wants these sweeping, unprecedented budget powers to move money around.
I referred to them as king-like powers.
Shy, Lou.
He threw a bill on our desk and said, if you're not going to do everything I want you to do, then at least do this. And at least meant giving him strongest powers we've ever seen to move money around, to cut line items, to cut rates to providers, all without General Assembly oversight. And I think sometimes he forgets that the Constitution talks about co-equal branches of government, where the legislature is the governor's partner in government, not his employee.
Well, but do you think that, number one, that legislation is real in the same way that in his budget address, where he said, you know, here's my proposal, such as it is, or you know, I'll do the cuts. And I saw it as he doesn't want to do the cuts, and I don't know that he necessarily wants this transferable authority.
The truth is, he already had that opportunity. We passed the budget last May, and instead of vetoing the entire budget except for the education portion, he could have used his line item veto, the power he has under the Constitution now, and made any cuts or changes he wanted to make in that budget. He chose not to do that. He chose to throw us into chaos for his own purposes, whatever they might be.
Well, and I thought in the way that he unveiled this recent budget proposal, which is, it was short on its face by anywhere from $3.5 to $6 million, that in some respects he kind of undercut his own argument for having done that veto of last year's budget, which you guys sent to him, that was out of whack by $4 million.
Well, he certainly did. Last year, he proposed a budget that was $3 or $4 billion out of balance. We passed a budget that was admittedly out of balance, but said, Governor, this is a budget that reflects the needs and values of the people of Illinois. These are cuts over last year's budget, but we either need to cut more or find more revenue. And now this year, the governor proposes his budget with a huge imbalance and then blames us for the imbalance. There's something amiss there. And so people need to hold the governor account for talking in one day about the excesses of the General Assembly and then doing exactly the same thing himself.
I want to go back to where we began here about talking about Chicago State. I mean, you're starting to see these serious consequences at these public universities. And I'm not suggesting that there isn't room for cutting some of the bureaucracy in higher education. But you start looking at Chicago State sending layoff notices. You're looking at Eastern Illinois, which is laying off people, furloughing employees. You look at Western Illinois University, which is struggling under similar circumstances. SIU announcing, I think, $40 million in system-wide cuts. I think it's a scary time, particularly, I mean, I've got a daughter who's graduating this year, but if I were a kid in high school looking at colleges and universities, I'm not sure I'd be looking at anywhere in Illinois.
I think it's a dangerous road to go down. As it is, in-state tuition at our Illinois universities is at or near the same level of out-of-state tuition at places like Iowa. There's something wrong with what we're doing, and it doesn't help when the governor of the state of Illinois threatens to shut down our state universities, our public universities. It sends a bad message to the business community, the same business community that he wants to bring into Illinois. It sends a bad message to people. And aside from what he's doing directly to the universities, the failure to sign the bill for MAP grants, which are the scholarships for lower-income college students, was just really appalling. We want to lift people out of poverty, and so we say to them, well, we're not going to lift you out of poverty this year. And what about the second-semester seniors who are not able to go back to school, who will not graduate this year or certainly will not get their diplomas because they won't have paid their tuition in full? It is just a heartless approach to running the government of the state of Illinois.
Well, and it's not like higher ed hasn't taken its whacks over the years. I mean, I'm under Blagojevich. I remember when he presented his first budget and he came to the Tribune editorial board. And I don't know if I thought the old formula used to be of new money coming into the state. It was always like 2/3 to grade and high schools and 1/3 to higher ed. And that was nowhere to be found with Blagojevich. And I said, you know, what happened to the old standby formula? He didn't know what I was talking about.
We have owed higher education, our state universities, money from Springfield that was promised to them for many years through Republican and Democratic governors. That isn't the issue. The issue is, what are we going to do about it now? Governor Rauner was elected on the theory that he was going to turn Illinois around. This is not a good turnaround for Illinois. This is not good for our people, not good for the individuals trying to go to the universities, not good for thousands of people who have jobs at our state universities, and puts a cast over the state of Illinois, which is not a good one at a time that we're trying to improve our economics.
We're speaking with Lou Lang, Democratic state representative from Skokie and a member of the Democratic leadership team in the Illinois House. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. Joining me on the phone is Democratic State Representative Lou Lang of Skokie. Representative, we were talking about higher education, and we got a text from a caller actually touching on Bernie Sanders' visit to Chicago State. And, of course, part of Sanders' themes, and I think a good reason why he's attracting some of the younger voters, is that he talked about his belief that public university and college tuition should be free, offset by taxing Wall Street in some way. And the caller wanted to know is if anything like that is even possible, given the mess we're in right now.
I think first we need to stabilize our economics, not only in the state of Illinois, but nationally. We can't go off spending that kind of money until we absolutely know what we're going to do. Certainly free college, and many have talked about free or reduced community college. Doing that would be helpful to our society. It would be helpful to everyone in the society. By the same token, though, do we really want to give free college education to those that come from well-to-do families? And so I think rather than, in the short term at least, looking at free college, we ought to be looking at ways to reduce college costs, lower interest rates on loans, more scholarship money. We have to find another way to do this. I don't think we can jump right from where we are today directly into free college education.
Obviously, as we talk about higher ed and the issue of the Springfield budget impasse, and a number of people have asked me, why is it that Speaker Madigan just doesn't sit down with Rauner, lock the door, and let's come up with something?
Well, that is a question that comes from someone that doesn't understand exactly what's happening. So when they have gone into a room, the governor's first question is, when are we going to do my turnaround agenda? He will not discuss the budget until he gets his turnaround agenda. The turnaround agenda is a non-starter by most people in Springfield. And even if it was to hold the state of Illinois hostage, kids with epilepsy or people with mental illness, et cetera, to hold them hostage over the governor's political agenda is just wrong. And so many people in general public think this is some big war, some big impasse on the budget. But the fact is there is no discussion on the budget. House Democrats, Senate Democrats are prepared to sit down and negotiate a budget. But until the governor of the state of Illinois is prepared to negotiate the budget, there isn't going to be one.
Now, he said in his budget message that he doesn't need everything that's on his turnaround agenda. He doesn't need it, everything all at once. But he also didn't really elaborate, what does he want now? What is he looking at later?
Well, so he's the one that elevated his turnaround agenda to the same place that doing a budget would be. Most people, even members of the Republican side of the aisle, don't agree that that's the case. And so he throws that into his budget address so that some people will think he's being reasonable. He's not being reasonable. We will do a budget within 1 week of the time the governor says, let's do a budget. It's really up to him. He's the roadblock. There's a piece in the Sun-Times today discussing that exact point.
So is it just a matter that even though the governor may call a meeting, that the speaker says, what's the point?
Well, I think the speaker has skipped a meeting or two on the theory that if we're only going to discuss the same turnaround agenda, it's hurtful to the people of the state of Illinois. We want to discuss a budget. And so you don't really have a budget impasse unless you're actually talking about the budget. If you can't agree on a line item, you can't agree on a cut, you can't agree on new revenue, that's a budget impasse. But they're not in the room talking about those things because the governor refuses to do that. I know it doesn't sound right to the listeners. I know the listeners are saying, oh, that Lang's being partisan. But the fact is that he will not sit down and discuss the budget. The budget is just numbers. Yes, they're difficult numbers. But when the governor's prepared to sit down and do a budget, we will have one.
I had Brad Cole from the Municipal League on earlier, and the Muni League has got its legislative agenda. And a couple of things that they have in their list is ones that somewhat go to some of the subjects that are on the governor's turnaround agenda. One is changes in workers' comp, although Brad Cole says, we're not looking at the huge issue of causation and that kind of thing, but just stuff that he says kind of goes around the edges a little bit, just in employer costs. And I said, well, isn't that the kind of thing that we can't do like we used to do with an agreed bill that labor and management and the interested parties all sit down and kind of come up with something?
The fact is we have put workers' comp changes on the board. The Republicans won't vote for them. They want more than what we've proposed. Let's remember on workers' comp that just a couple of years ago, we passed a fairly comprehensive workers' comp reform bill. It should have reduced premiums by 20% or more. It did reduce premiums, but not that much. So I never hear from the governor that maybe we ought to take a good look and do a good audit of the insurance companies to find out why they're not passing the savings that were anticipated from that legislation onto the employers of Illinois. They should be doing that. And if the governor's serious about workers' comp reform, we need to take a look at insurance reform as well.
Another thing that's on the municipal league's list is prevailing wage and giving communities some flexibility of lower cost kind of work, I think primarily for smaller communities where they don't have to pay prevailing wage. Is that something that there's any flexibility involved here with the legislature?
I would say that saying we're not going to have prevailing wage is a non-starter, but that doesn't mean we can't talk about regional prevailing wage. So the prevailing wage in Chicago is different than the prevailing wage in Carbondale. The prevailing wage in Rockford is different than the prevailing wage in Caro. So if we could talk about keeping prevailing wage, but talk about regionalizing it, it might help, and I think Democrats would be willing to at least talk about that. But when the governor starts every conversation with, we have to do away with prevailing wage, it doesn't go too far. It's not a reasonable place to start the conversation.
That's Lou Lang, Democratic State Representative from Skokie, a top deputy of the House Democratic Leadership. Lou, thanks for joining me this morning.
Always happy to do it, Rick. Have a great day.
You too. We'll be back with more right after this.